I have a friend who's also a parishioner at my last church, named John, who one day went fishing with a friend of his on a rather large lake, and they had a rather small boat with just a little kicker on the back. And they got out there about the middle of the lake and was fishing and having a pretty good time. And then a speedboat came along and started kicking up quakes, you know, little waves next to the boat. Well, as one of those waves was coming against the boat, his friend, for some reason, stood up in the boat and went to move something around. And when he did, the boat capsized. And now these two men are stuck out in the middle of the lake in the water. And if I didn't mention before, they were both in their 60s, so they were getting a little nervous about how long they could tread water. You know, and they were up in their upper 60s. Let me point that out. And so they're treading water, and they're stuck out here, and they knew they didn't have what it took to swim all the way back to shore. It was just too far away. So they're treading water. They did get a life preserver on partway. And the boat came back by, and so they waved at the boat, trying to wave them down and hollering at them, and the people on the boat waved and just went on by and left. That was real nice. So John, he began to get really worried because his friend not only was in his upper 60s, but also had some heart trouble earlier that year. And so he was really concerned about how long he would make it out there. And they didn't see anybody on the lake anywhere. The boat had disappeared. They probably felt bad and wanted to go hide. And so they did. So John prayed. There just didn't seem to be any way out of it, so John started praying. And when he finished praying, he heard a noise. He looked up, and a couple of teenagers on jet skis were buzzing across the lake. So they started waving at him like that, you know. And the teenagers came over and said, "Well, what are y'all doing?" "Duh, we're trying to drown in the lake here. Our boat capsized, you know." So they got the guys on their jet skis, took them back to land and called for help, and they even got the boat out of the lake eventually. But at that one moment, though, there seemed to be no way out of that. You know, John, when he was talking to me about it, he says, "You know, I just couldn't see how we were going to get out of there." He says, "We were too old and too tired to get ourselves out." And he said, "All I needed to do was pray." And it was one of those situations where it was no way but Yahweh. And Yahweh, by the way, in case some of y'all don't know, I'm sure you do, Yahweh is another name for God. So if you hear me saying Yahweh today, that's another name for God. So it was a no way but Yahweh situation. Well, our good friends, the Israelites, found themselves in one of those situations. In our scripture today, they have already fled from Egypt, where they were being imprisoned and worked as slaves. They did all the nasty labor, so the Egyptians didn't have to, you know, all the grunt work. And under the direction of Moses and the guidance of God, they had fled from Egypt and were heading to the promised land that God had told them he would provide them. And they were making good time. They were going through the wilderness, the back trails, you know. And they were making good time when all of a sudden they came out of a clearing and here's the Red Sea right in front of them. Well, this is an immediate problem because you see the Israelites were land lovers. They weren't like their neighbors down the way, the Phoenicians, who made their living on the sea and knew all about sailing boats and making boats and navigating on the water. The Israelites didn't have a clue, you know. And to make matters worse, Pharaoh was extremely unhappy that all his grunt labor force had left. He was really torqued off about that. So he sent his entire army to go after him to capture him and bring him back. And so they were on the trail behind the Israelites. And they were making good time also. So here we have this problem. They're at the Red Sea. They don't know how to cross it. They know they've got to go to the other side. That's what the Lord is telling them. The promised land is on the other side. They don't know how to get over there. Now, we could imagine for a moment that maybe Moses called a meeting of his upper staff people. And if he did that, it might have gone something like this. Moses called them together and said, "Well, we have this problem. The Egyptians are advancing quickly on us. We need to get across the Red Sea, and we don't know how. Does somebody have a quick solution for this?" And so the leader of his army stood up and said, well, yes, normally I would suggest that we build a pontoon bridge to get us across. He said, but there's not enough time. The Egyptians are too close. And then the leader of his navy would have stood up and said, well, normally I would suggest we build great barges to get us across, but there's just not enough time. So finally his PR man, public relations man, raises his hand, and Moses says, wait a minute, you have a suggestion? You have an answer to this? He says, no, but if you can get us out of this, I can guarantee you at least 3 pages in the Old Testament. That's about all they were going to be able to be accomplished on their own. It was no way but Yahweh. And so when God saw this, he called down to Moses and he said, wave your hand over the sea and it'll divide. And he did. And at the same time, God moved this cloud that they were following, and this cloud that was leading the Israelites in the direction they needed to go. Well, the cloud suddenly moved to behind them to create a fog or a dense area of rain where the Egyptians could not advance to buy the Israelites a little time. And when this path opened up, the Israelites headed out across this path. Now, mind you, it was probably a little scary, because you think about it, that water was on either side of them and probably at some points over their head. And here they are on this pathway between the two bodies of water. And so they make it across, and then they look back and they see that the Egyptians now are following them on the same path that God made for them. And you got to understand, the Israelites were good people, but they did have their moments when they were weak in faith. And so I'm sure when they looked back and saw this happening, they were going, Moses, they're following us on the same path. This isn't any good. What are we going to do? And Moses says, keep your faith, you know. Hang on there a minute. And God told Moses, he says, wave your hand across the sea again and it will flood. And he did. And that path flooded over and it killed the whole army. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, when I read that story, that's no way but Yahweh. There's no way that could have happened but God. And I love to think about what that must have looked like, to be looking at this vast body of water. You know, it's kind of like if you imagine standing on the beach out there at the Gulf, and you're thinking, I've got to get over to Mexico. You know? And I have no boat, no surfboard, no canoe. Wouldn't know how to use them if I had them. How am I going to get over there? And God just parts a path in the Gulf. And you walk on dry land over to Mexico. Of course, the INS would have a field day with that, but, you know, we'll leave them out of it. But, but can you imagine? I mean, just imagine what's going on there. When I read the story, I think of an experience I had when I was about 10 years old, and I was living in California with my family. We took a family trip one year to Universal Studios in California. And on their back lot, they had this giant man-made lake. And in this area, they had filmed a movie about Moses and the Israelites, and they actually showed in the movie the parting of the Red Sea, and the lake was supposed to be the Red Sea. And so we drive up to it, you know, in this tram, and we're looking at it, and it's this big body of water. And the tram guy says, well, he says, we're like the Israelites, we need to get across, you know. So he hits this button on his tram, and it parts. I mean, a path opens up in this giant man-made lake, and we go in, we drive in it, and come out the other side. And the water is up almost to the top of the tram on either side, but it's not getting us wet. Now, and when I think about that, when I read the story, I think about that experience, and it kind of gives me a little bit of an idea of what it must have been like to have been there. Now, I'm not trying to say that what Universal Studios did was an act of God. No way. It was an act of science and engineering. And they explained to us later how they did that. But for me, at least begins to give me a little bit of a visual picture of what happened there. It's pretty cool. But anyways, for the Israelites, it was a no way or Yahweh situation. They didn't have Hollywood there and the engineers and the science to figure out how to part the Red Sea. Not that they could do that, but they didn't have them there. So it was no way with Yahweh. And the point of this whole scripture, I guess, is that we find ourselves in situations that are no way but Yahweh. We find ourselves with seas to cross, or out in the middle of a sea, drowning in a situation. and not sure how we're going to get out. You know, we may have the sea of, have to cross the sea of a lost relationship or sickness in somebody, you know, and we don't see how we're going to get across. You know, it's just so bad. We don't see how we're going to get out of that sea or get across that sea to the better times, to the other side of the problem. And it's a no way but Yahweh. Or we may have had to experience the sea of the death of a loved one. My goodness, how do you get across that? You know, you just feel like you're drowning in it. You know, it's a no way but Yahweh situation. And what Moses was trying to tell the Israelites, and what I think what he's trying to tell us today, is that when we find ourselves in those situations, and we will, that we need to keep the faith. We need to remember that when things seem like there's just no way out, no way across, there's always Yahweh. It reminds me of another famous water crossing when the disciples went in a boat and they were out on the sea and it got real rough and the waves started crashing into the boat and they're all whining and crying, "Oh, we're going to drown. Oh, what? And Jesus is sleeping. What's going on here? We're going to die." You know, and they're whining and crying, and he wakes up and kind of surveys the situation and says, "Peace be still." And the waters calm and the storm calms. And then he looks back at the disciples and he says, "Are you still of little faith? Do you not have the faith?" Well, in that question, there's really a lot of questions that that come to us. A lot of questions that we need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Like, do we have faith that God will preserve us from destruction? Do we trust that the Lord will give us courage and victory in the midst of struggles? Do we believe that God will see us through the storm and deliver us safely to the other side? That's faith, folks. We need to ask our questions. Do we have the faith to believe in these things? If we don't, we need to work on it. It's easy to have faith when things are rolling along smooth, isn't it? It's easy to thank God and praise God. "Hey, everything's great. Bills are paid. Everybody's healthy, you know. Praise God." It's hard to have faith, though, when the storms get rough. And there seems to be, and we seem to be drowning in the sea of life. We got to have faith, and we got to remember that when there's no way, there's Yahweh. When there's no way, there's Yahweh. And all he asks us to do is stand by him and keep the faith. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're there for us, that you're ready to act on our behalf and to help pull us out of the waters that we may be drowning in, the waters of tough situations. Lord, we thank you that, like the Israelites, you're always looking after us and ready to show us the way. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to remember when we get into those tough times, when we get into those no-way times, when there seems to be no way out, that we'll remember that there is always Yahweh, and Yahweh has the way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.